Hello, I'm Amanda McNulty with Making It Grow, and today we're going to have an episode of Making It Grow Extra. And that's going to be fun because my old friend and professor, Dr. John Nelson of the A.C. Moore Herbarium at the University of South Carolina, has joined me. And John, right now, we're talking at the end of August, and I feel like there's a lot of, there are many examples of the sunflower family all over the roadsides.
Ah, the sunflower family.
I mean, yeah.
It's a wonderful, wonderful family. Some botanists call it the prince of plant families.
Do
it's
they?
It's just so interesting and the source of so much study, academic study, and trying to understand the evolution of plants. This is a wonderful, wonderful target family for study, among other things.
What's the fancy name for the sunflower family?
Fancy name. Well, it has two fancy names. And the old name for the sunflower family would be the Compositae. Compositae is a funny word. It suggests composite.
Yes, it does.
And surely enough, the what all the sunflower family members have in common is that their flowers are held, their flowers are very tiny, and they're held in these little glomerules or heads of flowers. And we call each one of these heads a composite group of small flowers. So composite is a general word, which means anything in the sunflower family. And a lot of botanists talk about composite this, composite that. And some people that don't like to study the sunflower family, and those are rascals, they don't like to study them because they think they're too hard to identify. And I call them DYCs, which stands for damn yellow composite.
Composites, that's right. And the other name is Asteraceae.
The other name I almost forgot is Asteraceae. Now, this is a fairly modern name. All the plant families in the world have a suffix at the end of the word, A-C-E-A-E.
Mm-hmm.
And if you ever see that suffix on when you're dealing with something botanical in print, that means it's some plant family. So the sunflower family has these two names, Compositae and also Asteraceae. And both of those names are completely equivalent. One doesn't have priority over the other one.
All right.
Perfectly okay
now,
to use both.
Now, you said tiny flowers held in this glomerule, but
that's a hard many word of to
us,
say.
Many of us think of things that we like the traditional sunflower. The thing that we call the flower can be quite large and showy.
That's
which
right.
is one reason we like them so much.
So if you're growing one of those Russian mammoths in your backyard, a big beautiful sunflower that's as tall as an 8-year-old, I guess, and you see one giant thing on the top of it, which has those beautiful yellow things coming out from the side. You're right. That is not one flower. That's probably 200 flowers right there. So the trick is to understand that the flowers themselves are individually quite small. And there's two types of flowers. All the flowers will be equipped with a little ovary down at the very, very bottom. And then there will be the petals above that. The petals will all be fused into a tubular structure. And the stamens will be inside that tube. Now, one has to ask, well, where will the pistil be, the female part of the flower? Well, of course, the ovary is way down at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And the style, people got to remember back to their first botany class now.
The style, the structure that sticks up, that usually receives the pollen, and then the pollen grows
right,
down that tube
right,
to where the ovules are.
And at the top of the style will be the stigma, the stigmatic portion,
yes,
which actually does receive the pollen. And so it's kind of a very complicated process, and there are 1,000 different ways in which pollination can take place,
oh,
depending on the genus and the species in the sunflower family.
Well, when I look at this, like if I look at a sunflower, there's the part before it turns into sunflower seed, it says the middle part that's often dark, and then it's got what look like petals coming off it. So what are those things that look like petals?
what those things are that look like petals, each one of those she loves me, she loves me not kind of things, each one of those is actually the fused petals of a single flower on the outside of that head of flowers. And if you wanted to count all those beautiful golden things on the outside of the head on one of these Russian mammoth sunflowers, you'd probably count 60 or 70. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But each one of those, you got to remember, is a single flower, not a single petal. Because all the petals, remember, are fused together into a tubular structure. It just so happens that the flowers on the outside or the periphery of that sunflower head are flattened and strap-shaped. And that's what people like to call petals.
Now, with a sunflower, the seeds are in the middle, I guess. So is it just the flowers in the middle that make seeds? What about those outside?
Okay, so the flowers on the outside are
Do we
what?
Call those ray flowers?
Ray flowers, yes. Because they look like
disc flowers on the interior.
Disc flowers on the interior. Now, those disc flowers will have a somewhat different symmetry than the ray flowers do. Never mind all that right now. What's important to remember, though, is that all the flowers will have an ovary mm-hmm. down at the bottom.
So each one has the potential to make a seed.
That's right. And it's what we call an inferior ovary. Now, sure enough, though, sometimes, depending on the genus and species that we're dealing with, the ray flowers, even though they have a potential for making a fruit or an ovary, they may be sterile. They may not produce.
Okay.
And one thinks, well, perhaps the function of the ray flower is more for attracting pollinators mm-hmm. rather than producing a viable fruit. And so the disc flowers in a sunflower, we're kind of bouncing around between sunflowers in a garden and everything else in the family.
Sure.
But the sunflowers in a garden will make these big, obvious black and white looking things down at the bottom that everybody likes to call a sunflower seed.
Seed, we do, yeah.
And it's not a seed.
But it is the reproductive
structure. It's real simple, though. It's a fruit. Uh-huh. So if you go to the Zippy Mart and you buy a bag of salted peanuts, and they're in the shell, that's the important part. They're in the shell. You're not buying sunflower seeds, technically. You're buying sunflower fruits.
Uh-huh.
So the fruit is just the ripened ovary of a flower.
So what happens to the exterior ray flowers on a sunflower?
Again, depending on the species, they may or not produce.
But
if you go to the same Zippy Mart and you get a little bag of shelled sunflower seeds and they've removed all the outer coating, the hard shell. Now, those are indeed the seeds.
Okay. So
there's one seed inside each one of these fruits.
Yeah. All right. Now, right now, the roadsides are covered with goldenrod, and that doesn't look much like a sunflower that we would grow mm-hmm. for sunflower seeds. Is that a member of the sunflower family?
It is. And this is, again, this goes back to the fascinating part of studying this family is that there's so many different morphologies, different kinds of shapes and ways in which the flowers are put together. It's one might say that there's a tremendous amount of variation on a few themes in this family. But a sunflower is a perfectly good member of this family, too.
The goldenrod is.
Goldenrod. Uh-huh.
I'm sorry. Yeah, yeah.
So goldenrod, and of course, as you say, they're very conspicuous and obvious now because they bloom in the autumn.
Do a lot of the sunflowers bloom in the autumn? Is that kind of when the biggest group of them?
Most of them do, at least in the Southeast. Mm-hmm. We have a tremendous number of species that are starting to bloom now.
What else is out there that we are going to see or become aware of in the fall of the year?
Well, one of the things that you're going to be seeing are native sunflowers.
Oh.
And we have quite a number of those here in South Carolina. And they are, drop dead gorgeous, wonderful. I have a big patch of a native sunflower getting ready to open up in my backyard now. I'll have to show it to you.
And I had for a while something called swamp sunflower, and boy, it was a vigorous plant.
A lot of people call that one, swamp sunflower is pretty common in wetlands.
Mm-hmm.
That would be Helianthus angustifolius, and it really is pretty too.
Now, how about artichokes that we make artichoke pickle from?
Artichoke pickle comes from an artichoke that is a sunflower.
I thought so.
And it's Helianthus, of course,
uh-huh.
That's a genus. Helianthus tuberosus is
because
the name of that.
Because what
one.
We do is dig those things out of the ground and spend 2 or 3 hours trying to wash all the dirt off
and
them.
And peel them.
Yeah. I don't peel mine.
Yeah, that's all right. More fiber that way.
Yeah.
But that's not a native species, of
yeah.
course. That's an introduced species.
Now, I have some rabbit tobacco for my hat tonight. Is that a is that an Asteraceae?
Yes, it is. It's in one of the approximately 16 different tribes.
Whoa.
Or groups of the sunflower family that's actually related to Edelweiss in the Austrian Alps.
Good heavens.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, here we have rabbit tobacco, and the Austrians have Edelweiss.
I think the Edelweiss might be more worthy of having a song in its honor than the rabbit
so.
Tobacco.
I think they'll probably get more respect.
So it's a great big family. We could talk about it forever.
Maybe in another meeting
we'll talk about some others that will be on the roadside pretty soon or that we might see at other times of the year, kind of unexpectedly, John.
In so many habitats, it would be easy to talk about this family lots of times.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.